On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go. It is the 17th day of December, 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go to jump into the chat room like I did a little bit ago. Nice crowd forming up even as we speak. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Devin. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Labor Man. And good evening to both incarnations of chat room moderator Sparky, both Sparky and Man Cave. Good evening. Good evening. Lottie, also a member of our inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator duo this evening. Hey, there's Tim. Tim just wandered in. And there's John. See how fast it happens? Yes, indeedy. The Head On Radio Network. Yeah. Don't try this at home. You too can be a part of the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. chat room. It's free and it's easy. Just pop right by and be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the conversation that goes on within the conversation. It's almost like Shakespeare's play within a play in Hamlet, only not. Oh, what else is at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com? Of course, yes, the Listen Live pop-out player, as well as access to the podcast archives, all of which is free. Insofar as this is a community that makes it possible for everybody to have everything we have to offer, pretty much, podcast, live stream, what have you. And assuming I haven't screwed up and had the rerun stream buffer up and nobody told me. That happens sometimes. So, also there at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will, of course, find the PayPal interface. That's how we keep this all going. And we're trying to stay even or maybe get out a little bit in front, if at all humanly possible. Last night, the only contribution we had came from our dear friend Sal, who was there just about night in and night out. And so this evening I was really gratified to receive a brand new wild rice premium order. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very much indeed, Roger. That wild rice premium is still on the table for those who want it. Remember, for a $100 contribution, you can get a pound of wild rice harvested from the pristine waters of northwest Wisconsin up by Lake Superior in the way that it has been harvested and processed for, indeed, ten thousand years, perhaps more than ten thousand years. So that is there. Just let me know where to ship it, the first load is on the way. As soon as I know how many to order, I'll get another order out. So I'll try to make sure that I don't know if we're going to get there by Christmas or not, but golly, maybe New Year, maybe for your New Year's feast, that would work too, right? Interesting question coming from Tim from LA. What's the difference between wild rice and Japanese rice? Japanese rice is rice. Wild rice isn't rice at all. Wild rice is a grass grain that has been misnomered as rice. It's a grass seed grain, but it is not rice. But it is delicious. Absolutely stunningly, magnificently flavorful. So that's out there. And also a new premium to introduce tonight. And this is, that's Wild Night, John. Oh, Only Wild Rice has a Van Morrison song. Kind of sounds like Wild Rice, doesn't it? Yeah. Then again, I'm the guy who thinks that it sounds like Stevie Nicks is singing just like a one-winged dove. Makes a sound sounds like she's singing, saying, ooh, baby, ooh, said ooh. See, I figure a one-winged dove would say that, but it's a white-winged dove. Who knew? But we have a brand new premium on the table this evening, courtesy of Sparky. Courtesy of Lottie. I've been talking with Sparky about it. That's where that confused. No, courtesy of Lottie. Lottie had some bumper stickers printed up as a sort of test to see how they would play out. They are horn bumper stickers, and they're lovely. White with the horn logo, you know, with the microphone. Mike in Pennsylvania designed this for us years ago. Blue letters, the Shure SM55 microphone in an outline inside the O. Says the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice, headonradionetwork.com. We are offering these up as a premium. I talked to Lottie and they were pricey to have printed. So, for a $50 contribution, I'll put one of these in the mail to you. And you can be one of a very, very, very exclusive club, because there will only be 10 people driving around with these bumper stickers on their cars for the time being. So that's out there for you as well. Just let me know when you hit the PayPal interface and make a note in the little box and tell me, you know, send me the sticker. And there's only, like I said, 10 of those. So, now, you know what? This has been a busy day. This has been a very, very busy day. And this just in from News Ninja Carol Baker, putting out an offer of another Hooterville Ozark gift basket. She's been sending those along for $75. So thank you and thank you very much, Jeremy. Tune in loud and clear. I appreciate that. So we've got a $50 premium, 10 of those. We've got a $75 premium. And we've got a $100 premium out there in an effort to sort of run downhill toward the end of the year and the end of the month. Thank you, Carol. Thank you very kindly. So just let me know if you want which one you want, and we'll get it on the road to you. Like I said, it's been a busy day. I mean, stuff started popping. We all know. I presume, and I make certain presumptions in pulling the program together every evening. I presume you've been following the news. And I presume you know that there has been the beginnings of a historic rapprochement with Cuba, or as John Kennedy called it, Cuber. Almost sounded hillbilly the way he said, Cuber. We are, it's pretty astonishing. We're going to have a Cuban embassy. We're actually going to establish an embassy in Havana after 50 long years of abject, miserable stupidity. No kidding. Yep. Travel restrictions ease. The amount of money that Cuban expats can send home to family has been raised. And you know what? You know how you know that this was the right thing for President Not Sure to do? The Republicans are going mad. Marco Rubio has throwed himself a sure enough, no kidding, all to the moon, Alice to the moon hissy fit. Followed shortly thereafter by a hissy fit thrown by Ted Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed future king of America. Yeah. Now, meanwhile, this was all part of a fascinating story that apparently this was facilitated in large part by Canada, and by Pope Frank. That's why I bring it up. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. I know, yes. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, absolutely. And, you know, it's not every religious outfit that offers a premium in exchange for contributions to keep the church going. But, yes, that we have that at 50 and 75 and 100 bucks. But anyway, Pope Frank played a big part in this, carrying on a correspondence with President Obama and with President Raul Castro in Cuba. And so maybe, after 50 years of the most abject stupidity, we will begin to normalize relations with Cuba. And the timing's pretty nice because President Obama has two more years left on his term, and it's going to be pretty hard for the Republicans in the House and Senate to scuttle this, because they may not even have the votes inside their own caucus. No, we know that it was the right thing to do just because of the language that Marco Rubio, who still thinks he is somehow or another made of presidential timber, just because of the language that he used. I mean, this is... also because of the fact that, who was it? Yet none other than Jebby son of Barbara Bush. He's pissed off about it, too. Oh, we can't be negotiating with vile communist dictators. Shut up, Jeb. Right? Yeah. Let's see. Where's the magic Rubio quote? Yeah, here it is. My interest in Cuba has been the furthering of democracy and freedom. Nothing the president will announce today will further that goal. It's part of a long record of coddling dictators and tyrants this administration has. Oh, goodness me. There goes that time-traveling Obama again. Back there supporting the Shah of Iran. Yeah, toppling Mossadegh. Yeah, supporting Pinochet. Because, I mean, that's the line, right? Long record of coddling dictators and tyrants this administration has. Right. So we know by virtue of the fact that the stupid came out en masse to gripe about this that it's probably the right thing to do. Let's see. What did Jebby say? I don't think we should be negotiating with a repressive regime to make changes in our relationship until Cuba changes. But, of course, President Obama did note that we normalized relations with China to the point that we're now in hock to them for God knows how many billions of dollars. We normalized relations with Vietnam, where we saw tens of thousands of the flower of our youth fall in jungle mud, and killed more than a million of them too in the process. But it's somehow wrong to. I have a tiny little stash of Cuban cigars that I snuck back from the Lib Boat cruise many, many years ago. And I'm going to, as soon as the program's over this evening, I'm going to light one of them suckers up in celebration. I am. I really, really am. I got a little tiny Partagas, and it's going to be real good. So, there's that news. Thank you very much, Asa, for jumping into the fundraising fray. Much appreciated. Much appreciated indeed. Thank you very kindly. Yeah, see, Tim thinks like I think. The positive side of normalizing relations with Cuba, I now have a choice of buying the following. Bolivar, Cohiba, Cuaba, Diplomaticos, El Rey del Mundo, Fonseca, H. Upman, Oyo de Monterrey, José El Piedra, Juan López, La Flor de Cano,
La Gloria Cubana, Monte Cristo, Partacus, Por La Reñaga, Punch, Que d'Orsay, Quintero, Rafael Gonzalez, Ramon Ayones, Romeo y Julieta, San Luis Rey, San Cristobal, Sancho Panza, Trinidad, Vegas Robina, and Vegaros. Legally.
Tim adds, now imagine a single malt scotch and a Romeo y Julieta. Wait, wouldn't this be great? Capitalism? Why are the Republicans pissed? Oh, yeah, the prez this time is a Negro. Let's see. Let's go over that list real quick, Tim. You can't afford the Cohibas. Most of us can't. And they're overpriced and really, yeah. Leave the Jose Piedras alone. Leave the Floridacanos alone. Leave the Sancho Panzas alone. Most of those are machine rolled and they taste like crap. But no, a nice Partagas short, or one of the long skinny Por La Reñagas. Yeah. Yes, indeedy. Ron and Raleigh with a note. So, I remember when this stupid shit started in the 1960s, so we're finally going to end this childish fit of pique? Only Obama can go to Cuba? I guess we have to say that. Now, well, he hasn't been there yet, but I guess we have to kind of say that, don't we? And after all, Barack Obama did spend all that time reading all those right-wing Republican presidential biographies, right? Remember when he went to the beach to read about Ronald Reagan? But there was something even more momentous, to my way of thinking, that happened today. The federal government didn't do it. Dr. John first clued me to this coming in, and then just a matter of minutes later, the story landed via the New York Times. Dateline Albany, New York. The Cuomo administration announced Wednesday that it would ban hydraulic fracturing in New York State, ending years of uncertainty by concluding that the controversial method of extracting gas from deep underground could contaminate the state's air and water and pose inestimable public health risks. Howard Zucker, acting commissioner of health for the state of New York, said, "I cannot support high-volume hydraulic fracturing in the great state of New York." The conclusion was delivered publicly during a year-end cabinet meeting called by Governor Cuomo. It came amid increased calls by environmentalists to ban fracking. See, we got to talk about that. Now, I don't think everybody who was calling for a ban on fracking was an environmentalist. Oh, please. Some of them might have actually just been human beings who didn't want to be poisoned to death. Environmentalist, yeah. It came amid increased calls by environmentalists to ban fracking, which uses water and chemicals to release natural gas trapped in deeply buried shale deposits. Now, let's understand, this is not a complete and absolute ban on fracking in the state of New York, but it is a ban on fracking for Marcellus shale, which is the worst kind. So, much more than a little golf clap to Governor Cuomo in New York. Because he took an affirmative step. He took an affirmative step to protect the health and well-being of New Yorkers. Have I mentioned, by the way, that the Appalachian Mountain chain extends into and through the state of New York? Why, shucks, the Appalachian Mountains go up past New York into Massachusetts and Vermont. Yeah, really. It just happens to be a part of the Appalachians that don't have any damn coal under them. I'm so happy for New York. I mean, I mean that's not damning with faint praise. I really, really am happy for New York because it means that for the time being, as long as this ban remains in place, that New Yorkers will be protected against the proliferation of ultrafine particulate matter in their air, against having their water catch on fire on the way out of the tap, against fracking fluids being dumped hither, thither, and yon, against their landfills being filled with solid radioactive waste from the fracking process. There's a lot to say. They'll be protected against freaking earthquakes, because fracking causes earthquakes. They'll be protected against all of that. And you can't overestimate what that means. That means that they won't have a 10, 15, or 15-year experiment performed on them to find out just exactly what kind and how many birth defects can be imposed upon their citizenry there in New York's Appalachia and parts elsewhere. They won't learn the horror of statistical excess deaths. They will not learn the misery of genitourinary cancers. There's all kinds of stuff that they won't learn that we've already learned here in Appalachia. And that, I think, is an interesting counterpoint. I did as much reading as I possibly could in advance of the program to find out what Governor Cuomo's decision was based upon. Because it was, in fact, based upon science. He didn't flip a coin. He didn't play spin the bottle with the fracking industry and the Sierra Club. He based his decision upon science. This is where it gets interesting. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York actually required less science, less hard, honest, earnest science in order to reach his decision to ban Marcellus fracking in New York State. He required less science to make that decision than is sitting, waiting, review, waiting acknowledgement of its mere existence by Governor Gert, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin of West Virginia. He required less science to make that decision than has been presented time after time after time to Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who will not even acknowledge that the peer-reviewed science exists. Governor Cuomo didn't even wait around for a study to come along that shows that blasting dust, for instance, when exposed to living human lung tissue, promotes the growth of tumors. He didn't have to wait. He didn't wait for that. He didn't have to wait for birth defect studies or studies that show that someone living near a frack pad has a 181% greater chance of giving birth to a baby with respiratory birth defects than a pregnant mother who doesn't live near a frack pad. You see, but you listen to this program, so you know that these are all realities for people who live in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone. He didn't wait for any of that. Because waiting for something like that is brutal and hateful and ugly. And so rather than waiting for sickened children and mothers gone before their time, instead of waiting for those numbers to pile up, Governor Cuomo said, enough, no more. It will not happen on my watch. And he's just been reelected for a 4-year term, so that would tend to indicate that New York is safe for at least 4 years. Let's consider, because you know how it is with my email inbox, right? Yeah. This landed a few hours ago. Cuomo prohibits fracking. Wrong direction for New York, says American Petroleum Institute. Karen Moreau, spelled just like the island of Doctor, you know, where you know, where Dr. Moreau put together strange genetically modified beasts like monkey people and dog lions and cowfish and right. Remember, you know the island of Dr. Moreau. Karen Moreau is executive director of New York Petroleum Council, an arm, tentacle, I like to think, of the giant American Petroleum Institute. The group represents some of the world's biggest energy companies. Is this a selling point? Maria Sliwa for Keybridge Communications offered this to me. Dateline Albany, December 17th, 2014, API, New York. New York State Petroleum Council Executive Director Karen Moreau said Governor Cuomo today acted irresponsibly by issuing a statewide ban on hydraulic fracturing, putting the state's economy on a reckless path and ignoring the needs of New York families, economic opportunity, job creation, revenue to the government, and America's need for energy security.
Today's action by Governor Cuomo shows that New York families, teachers, roads, and good-paying jobs have lost out to political gamesmanship. This is the wrong direction for New York. Robust regulations exist at the federal and state levels nationwide for natural gas development and environmental protection. A politically motivated and equally misinformed ban on a proven technology used for over 60 years throughout the country to great success is short-sighted and reckless, particularly when New York depends on safely produced natural gas just over the border in Pennsylvania.
I admit, sometimes I'm tempted. It'd be kind of fun to get, what's her name again?
Karen Moreau
on the program and say, Ms. Moreau, what's an ultrafine?
An ultrafine? Well, you know, that's a grade above fine. It's the grade I like to buy in my China settings, yes.
Notice there's no mention in there of all the poisoning or birth defects. Or cancer, or early funerals, or statistical excess deaths.
Not there. We look forward to continuing to work with the landowners and our labor allies who are focused on creating jobs. This is a missed opportunity to share in the American energy renaissance and for New York's future prosperity.
Shut up, Karen. God help! They even sent me a picture. Ron and Raleigh. Sliwa? Bob, is this woman related to Guardian Angel leader Curtis Sliwa? Can't be that many Sliwas out there, can there be? No, I don't know. I don't know. So, yeah, what's interesting, though, is that anytime the extraction industry starts talking about all the economic opportunities, they never tell you about the downside. They never mention the bust side of the boom economy. I mean, I know for a fact because I've got a friend up there. You know what? There's all kinds of people got jobs in Pennsylvania now. They got jobs. I mean, there's welders up there making $9 an hour welding stuff. $9 an hour welders. Woo-wee! And there's some $8 an hour truck drivers. Oh, look at all them jobs. Yeah. Of course, the water's not fit to drink. And the air ain't fit to breathe. They are rapidly turning Pennsylvania into an extraction hellhole. But that begs the question. Why is it? Or what does it say about the United States of America that by nothing more than the geographic accident of birth, a person can either be born protected against the predatory ravages of the extraction industries, or born subjected to them. Nothing more than the accident of where you're born and where you live. If you're born in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone of West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, or Tennessee, well, by God, you're born breathing ultrafines and having your water fouled. You're born with a reduced life expectancy. Remember, the life expectancy in one West Virginia county is now less than the life expectancy of a person in Guatemala, and roughly equivalent to that of a Haitian, which is no slur either on Guatemalans or Haitians. It just happens to be that once upon a time, the United States prided itself on increased life expectancies. But that's on the way out. And how interesting it is that that would be in a county where they blow up mountains, poison water, and foul the air. For money! Because money. Capitalism! Yay! But why is that? You've heard me express this before, and it just drove it home for me again. You know, in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson uses the phrase, talking about the new young nation taking its place separate and equal among other nations. That was 1776. By 1895, it had been changed to separate but equal. And that's Plessy. And that is a description based upon race, upon ethnicity, upon skin color. Remember, as I noted, Mr. Plessy, if I recall the history correctly, that the Plessy versus Ferguson was a set-up case that they thought they could, that the plaintiffs thought they could win. Because, see, Mr. Plessy was able to walk happily onto the white folks' car of the railroad train and sit down. It was only after he had bought his ticket and sat in his seat that he whistled the conductor over and said, "Oh, conductor, did I ever tell you about the fact that I am 1/8 Negro?" And the conductor said, "You gotta get out of here." Actually, it was New Orleans, so it was probably more, "Y'all gotta get on out of here and get on over to that there colored car." And he said, "But I do not wish to ride in the colored car." And offered his reasons. "Well, that's too bad for you. You gots to go." And thus was born the genesis of Plessy versus Ferguson. And, of course, we all know that it got to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that separate accommodations among the races were absolutely constitutional and acceptable as long as those accommodations, while being separate, were at least equal. It would take another 50 years before the Supreme Court, reviewing the idea in Brown versus Board of Education, went, "Wait a minute, if it's separate, it can't be equal by virtue of its separateness. This is bull." Now, let's remember, Fat Tony Scalia, Rand Paul, people like that, they think Plessy was wrongly decided. And through the course of the tumultuous 50s and 60s and the rise of the civil rights movement, Plessy's separate but equal standard came to be seen as odious, hateful, and dumb, not to mention racist, because it was the underpinning for the entirety of the Jim Crow South. Separate schools, separate water fountains, separate everything. And if there wasn't a separate, well, then, you know, don't sit down at the lunch counter. And with the passage of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, I think we got the idea that we had gotten rid of the notion of separate but equal. I came to the realization with the health care debate, actually, that separate but equal is alive and well in the United States. Because what we did is we sort of gave up on the overt, over-the-top, ham-fisted use of skin tone as the means by which we imposed it, and started using more subtle means. Like, instead of the accident of birth, the accident of geography of birth. And we're experiencing it right now. Separate but equal. If you are born in California and you are poor, and you grow up to adulthood, even though you are a member of the working poor, you will have health care coverage. If you get sick, you can go to the doctor. If you need an operation, you can get the operation. Same applies to New York. Same applies to Massachusetts. The same even applies to, amazing, isn't it, West Virginia for the time being, until the new legislature, wild-eyed Republican and crazier than a sprayed roach that it is, takes office in January, at which time they will start coming after the health care. But if, on the other hand, you are born in Alabama, if you are born in Georgia, if you are born in Mississippi, Stan, Louisiana, Texas, which has the highest number of uninsured working poor in the country. If you are born in those states, you are doomed to having your only hope for any sort of health care freedom be prayer. Because there will be no state-sponsored health care for you. States' rights! But when I saw the story, come through today about fracking in being banned in New York, I realized how pervasive this notion is in our country. Because, see, a child born in the last 5 years in New York State has been able to grow and learn, hopefully be cherished and nurtured and taught, without having to deal with the toxins that come from fracking. And that child is, by virtue of operation of the 14th Amendment, fully American, with all the rights and privileges appertaining thereunto. Imagine then the same child born 5 years ago in West Virginia. That child was probably, through her mother's placental bloodstream and blood supply, subjected to environmental poisons from the moment of conception. You know, these right-wingers like to know, the moment of, that's when life begins, at the moment of conception. And then, you know, did you know a blastocyst can feel pain and take cards in a hand of pinochle? From the moment of conception, a child born in West Virginia's mountaintop removal sacrifice zone is subjected to toxins. Toxins that are generated on mountaintop removal sites solely for the sake of profits, for the corporate, for our corporate betters, solely for the sake of political contributions given to our political class, the Gertz of the world, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, the Joe Manchins, the Shelley Moore Capitos, the David McKinleys, that goober from Mooney from Maryland, what's Evan Jenkins now? And the time has come, I think, to ask why. Why is it that the citizens of some states can have the full and equal protection of the law while the citizens of other states are denied them? How is that even constitutional? Well, I just need to move. God knows, I've heard that on our side. I've heard well-meaning people say, well, Bob, you know, why do you live there in West Virginia? Why don't you move? And of course, my immediate response is, you got a ramshackle old house sitting on an acre of ground somewhere I can come and move into? How am I going to get from here to there? Because, as some studies have indicated, economic mobility, you know, up and down the economic ladder, especially up, economic mobility, upward economic mobility has been severely curtailed in the last few years. The last few decades, say, starting about the election and inauguration of Ronald Reagan, whose mission was to destroy the middle class and create a two-class America, and who has largely succeeded. Why do we tolerate that? Do we tolerate that? And of course, you know what my answer is. My answer is that, in fact, only federal action can afford the degree of equality to Appalachian people that has been given by state action to citizens of New York. This is not that far different from other crises of rights that this country has faced in the past. Oh, no. We know further that there's only one bill in the Congress that has the power to bring environmental and social justice to the people of Central Appalachia. We know that that's the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, except no substitutes. If you ever happen to get a note from some environmental group saying, the Clean Water Protection Act, blah, 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 just send it back and say, I know better. Clean Water Protection Act is a half a loaf, separate piece kind of BS. Only one bill affords the potential for real justice to be brought to Central Appalachia, and that is the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It's been H.R. 526 in the Congress, in the House of Representatives for the past 2 years. The Congress is coming to an end. It will be reintroduced in the 114th Congress and have a brand new number. But if anything, this magnificent news coming out of New York State reinforces the fact that it is going to take federal action to bring the same rights that state action brought to New York, to Appalachia. Because the day has not dawned in the history of this state since June the 20th, 1863, to the present, nor may it be expected any time in the future, when a governor of West Virginia, or a governor of Kentucky, or a governor of Tennessee, or a governor of Virginia will act as boldly and as compassionately and as humanely as did Andrew Cuomo. See, New York has enough of an economy that they can look at the fracking industry and say, forget about it. Because, however, this state exists on a mono economy, where the coal industry is concerned, every governor of this state from the beginning until now has gotten on his knees, and they've all been hymns, has gotten on his knees and crawled and done his best to lick lick the coal industry's boots all shiny and slickety looking. So just a little food for thought as we celebrate one victory for people who drink water and breathe air. One victory. Now, you would be tempted to think that I don't actually know what day it is. But I've already mentioned, I know it's prayer meeting. I just kind of did away with the preacher for a little bit to deal with some stuff that was more serious. But oh, brethren and sistren, I'm a telling you, we got some heroic tales of faith and freedom today. We truly, truly do. Brethren and sistren, have you ever gone and had yourself one of them sub sandwiches down to the Subway? Brethren and sistren, have you ever thought that maybe, watching them ads, did you ever think that maybe that Jared feller was looking a little suspicious-like? Mm-hmm. Well, brethren and sistren, Sister Carol Baker brought this story to our attention. It turns out that the latest front in the Sharia law takeover of Mecca is happening at that friendly-looking, green-fronted place called the Subway. Because you see, over in the New United Kingdom and in Ireland, they got 200 subways. And them 200 subways, you know what they do? They serve their food in accordance with Sharia law. They do. They do, brethren and sistren. I'm sorry, I misread that. They have under 200 restaurants that serve Sharia Subway sandwiches. That means you can't get no pig meat. These are subways that are in areas that have high Muslim populations, just like our president, that Kenyan Muslim usurper. Apparently, the word went out that these few little handful of restaurants, if you can call a subway a restaurant, I mean, really. And the fact of the matter is, the bologna on a bologna sandwich, in even in a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Christian, Bible-believing Subway, that bologna's made out of turkey. So's the pepperoni. So's the salami. So's the pastrami, if you can imagine. Pastrami! It's made out of turkey. Mm-hmm. You know why? Capitalism, that's why. Because money. Because turkey is cheaper and lower in fat than pork and beef. Yes, even the ham is made out of turkey. And you know what? I can go down here to the local Rippy Mart, what's got a Subway in it, and I can guarantee you there won't be no Muslim usurpers for miles and miles and miles around. The turkey's made out of turkey. The chicken's made out of turkey. Okay, maybe the chicken's made out of chicken. Yeah, turkey. Probably why it tastes so crummy. But never mind, because the right wing in America, they're guarding our freedom to eat pig meat from being overtook by the Agenda 21 Sharia law. The controversial changes could come to the United States soon. Subway slams Christians in a major way. Will there ever be a big screaming right-wing headline that says Subway slams Christians in a minor way? Yeah. Meanwhile, there are five entirely kosher Subways here in the United States, but somehow or another, the right wing have not managed to get outraged about that. Apparently, the program has been in place since about 2007 that allows individual franchisees to take the population, you know, their customer base into consideration, which is another part of, you know, marketing, capitalism, because money. Enter the commenters. Barbara Hagemeyer Raymond, if that really is her new name. Carol noting, the main ingredient in their mayonnaise is, I can't believe it's not butthurt. Because we got some seriously butthurt right-wingers here. I'm not racist, but the fact that Muslims think they can control everything is wrong. No one was saying they had to have the ham or bacon on their sub. If they don't like it, they can go back where they come from. Also, Subway is no longer getting my business, and I will pass the word along to the rest of my family. See, that's the thing. First they come for your bacon, and the next thing you know, you're wearing the headgear. Jay Rado, get focused. Okay. F you, Subway, your sandwiches aren't that good anyway. No one is forcing these Muslim pieces of garbage to eat there. Tell them to go eat some hummus and shut the fuck up. I think these Islamic pieces of shit need fear put in their ass and send them back to their sand-ridden shithole. Interesting. Especially the part where he wants to put a Subway sandwich up the fundament of a Muslim. He must be on the Dick Cheney mailing list. Brenda Chapin says, this is so stupid and such a total insult to Christians everywhere. The good news is we can save billions of dollars if we just hit them with pork bombs. Let's load up those missiles with bacon, ham, and pork chops and let them rip! and that turned into an actual idea roundtable, because Thomas Crook said crop dust them with pork blood, and Don Reed said don't forget to add pig's blood for that awesome splatter effect, and Brenda Chapin, who originally wanted to bomb them with bacon and stuff, said American ingenuity at its finest. Bobby Ritchie has a very dirty mind. I thought they only eat camel meat that they'd already had sex with. Either way, I'm not a Subway fan, so let them see how long their chains survive being feeding terrorist ding-dongs. No terrorist Twinkies? Stop it, Devin. What's a Subway without a dark tunnel? Oh. The dark side of the force is strong with that one. Indeed. Carol says, remember, he wrote that slur from his trailer park, so he probably shouldn't be talking about shitholes. Oh, God, there's no end of it. Me? You know why I don't like Subway? Oddly enough, I can manage not to like a corporation, or I can manage to not like a corporation without reference to religion whatsoever. I don't like them because, for instance, their whole wheat bread is made tan-colored by virtue of a chemical additive, and it is not made with whole wheat flour. I don't like it because how's about the fact that their bread is made with, what's the dry version of high fructose corn syrup? Something solid. Maltodextrin. Maltodextrin. Yeah. Oh, what else? Now, it's not always the case that guilty people like Subway's are recipients of the honest, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing wrath of the religion industry, Christian right-wing, white wing. Sometimes an innocent capitalist patriot gets caught in the crossfire. Enter Mark Oberholzer of Texas City, Texas. Oh, okay. Devin says, maltodextrin makes me violently ill. Stay away from Subway. No, enter Mark Oberholzer of Texas City, Texas. Back in 2013, Mark Oberholzer of Texas City, Texas needed him a new pickup truck for his job. Because Mark Oberholzer of Texas City, Texas, he's a plumber, and a plumber's got to have a good truck. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just hard to carry all your plumbing stuff in a Prius. It is. So, in 2013, Mark Oberholzer of Mark One Plumbing went down to the car lot and traded in his truck. He went to the Ford Auto Nation dealership back in October 2012, and he traded it in. And he said, now, y'all don't forget to take my Mark 1 plumbing decal off the side, will you there? And they said, sure, Mark, no worries. Enjoy your new truck. And then they didn't take the decal off the truck. And they did just put it back into the stream of commerce. Anybody knowing the auto business knows that, you know, it's not like you trade your truck in there at Auto Ford Nation and it just sits on the lot and they wait for somebody to come along who wants a truck with Mark One Plumbing on the side of it and, you know, you get a deal and what. No. It goes off to the auction. And it gets sold and resold and sold again and sometimes apparently crosses entire oceans and gets halfway around the planet. Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Mark Oberholzer's pick-em-up truck from Mark One Plumbing. Because Mark Oberholzer is getting death threats now from the God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian patriots who live down around where he lives. Why? Because a photograph surfaced on Monday of a machine gun mounted on the back of a pickup truck with Mark One Plumbing decaled on the door, and the machine gun was on the back of the pickup truck, and the pickup truck was in Syria. No kidding. Really? Syria. It's a black Ford F-250 pickup truck with an extended cab. It's not the full four-door affair. And the news story identifies it actually as an anti-aircraft gun bolted to the back of the truck. His contact information's still on the side of that truck. And shortly after the photograph appeared, well, lo and behold, Mark Oberholzer of Mark One Plumbing started getting death threats from Americans who love America. Hell yeah! The business, it is reported, according to the Galveston Daily News, has received thousands of calls, faxes, and emails. Mark Oberholzer said, a few of the people are really ugly. The Auto Nation folks said, well, the truck was probably sold at auction and changed hands a lot bunch and then wound up in the hands of violent Islamic extremists. Muslims, you know. They're probably getting their Ford F-250 pickup truck with the anti-aircraft gun on the back to drive up to the Sharia law subway and, oh, never mind. Mr. Oberholzer said, we had no intentions or no idea this would even happen. I just want this to go away, to tell you the truth. But, you know, down there in Texas, they take their treason seriously, and they don't want no treason, plumber treasons. And you know how it is with the right wing. No matter how many times you tell them what the facts are, they're not going to have their bigotry swayed by facts. See? They done telled us about how all the ISIS Ebolers was going to come across the dry part of the Rio Grande and come right here to Texas and start imposing their Agenda 21 Sharia law. And there he sits right there in Texas City. Jeebus. It goes on and on and on. Oh, while we're in Texas, let's check in with another one of those good, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian teabagging birth or death or tenth or booger eater libertarian birch or Republicans. Can anybody here kindly explain to me what need a member of the Congress of the United States would have in owning the website domain www.blow-me.org? No, really. Blowme.org. Teabagger and House of Representatives freshman Blake Farenthold. Yeah, when you hold your ferret, you don't want to hold it too tight. You can get blisters. Does. He owns www.blow-me.org. No, he's a teabagger. This is not a wind power thing. It turns out that as a result of a lawsuit that has recently been filed, that representing Blake Farenthold is alleged to have a drinking problem, and b behaving inappropriately toward women folk problem when he's indulging in his drinking problem. Mm-hmm. According to the published suit papers, Farenthold regularly drank to excess, and because of his tendency to flirt, the staffers who accompanied him to Capitol Hill functions would joke that they had to be on redhead patrol to keep him out of trouble. Redhead Patrol. All the news stories also are accompanied by a photograph of Mr. Ferret Hold. And, well, I think that he would try to mate among his own species. You know, the Hutts. Also, according to the suit papers filed against Tea Party darling Blake Ferret Hold, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian of the member of the Republican Party, he was fond of sharing what are referred to gently, ever so gently. This is something that once upon a time you had, and there are some aspects of the law, and you learn this if you have a cup of coffee in law school. There are things where you have to plead with specificity. For instance, if I recall correctly, fraud must be pled with specificity. You can't just say so-and-so defrauded me out of $1,000. You have to plead it with specificity. Like in the lawsuit where Joe Manchin's brother sued him for never paying him back the $1 million that he borrowed from him. If he was alleging fraud, he would have to plead specifically the detrimental reliance and all of that. You have to... But in most modern pleading, you do not have to plead with specificity in regard to stuff that you'll prove later at trial, because that's all going to come out in discovery and maybe even testimony and depositions and that kind of stuff. So it says that Representative Ferret Hold, sworn upholder of the Constitution of the United States, I might add, was fond of sharing his sexual fantasies and his wet dreams with a young woman named Lauren Green. No, really, Lauren Green. Damn it, I will have a hissy at the first person who sends me an email about Christmas at the Ponderosa. Stop it, this is not funny, this is sexual harassment. This poor woman, just trying to keep a job. Oh, see? There's no holding Carol Baker back in the chat room, all caps, Bonanza! We got a right to start a little fight. Bonanza, 5'2", eyes of blue. Boy, have you seen my gal? Yeah. No, he shared, with Ms. Green, he shared his sexual fantasies and wet dreams about her with other staffers and, quote, regularly made comments designed to gauge whether Ms. Green was interested in a sexual relationship. Well, of course I'm blaming you, Carol. You're a giver. Okay, can we just have a check in here? I just want to do a little, just want to check in and see how the group's feeling about this. In human interaction, especially in interactions among people sort of circling in orbit around that planet called sex, how many of us, hands, remember this is just like Romper Room, I can see the hands out there, how many of us have ever pursued an intimate relationship by walking up and saying, "Well, I tell you what, I had me a wet dream about her last night." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not seeing any hands. Republicans. First it's Bill O'Reilly and, oh, baby, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a glass of wine in the shower and then I'm going to rub you down with falafel. Okay. Marty's imposing conditions now. How drunk am I supposed to be? Ron and Raleigh suggesting that perhaps Blake Ferrant bought www.blow-me.org from Larry Craig. There's the word. Okay, back to the subway for just a minute. Devin had pointed out Subway uses the same stuff in their bread that makes yoga mats squishy. Starts with AZ something, and indeed it does, because Randy tells us, I stopped going to Subway because they had been putting azocarbonide. Isn't that what they put Han Solo in? Yeah, see, we're back to Jabba the Hutt again. A yoga mat foam rubber ingredient in their bread. Mmm. Azocarbonide, just like Mama used to use. McDonald's apparently still does, according to foodbabe.com, put azocarbonide, a yoga mat foam rubber ingredient in their bread. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? So anyway, this goes all the way back to at least February 2014 when Blake Ferrenthold, and you can look up the photograph, I don't care. When Blake Ferrenthold, who has done, you know what, the number of crazy teabaggy things that Blake Ferrenthold, you know, Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, you know. It was February 2014 when Blake Ferrenthold, according to the suit papers, tried to, and the word used is entice, Lauren Green into a threesome with a female lobbyist. He then added, "Nah, honey, don't worry about it. Me and my wife is estranged from each other, and I ain't had sex with her for years." I guess that was supposed to seal the deal or something. Ms. Green, over time, began raising concerns about his behavior with other senior staff. And then it just became impossible for her to do her job. And then she got fired. A spokesperson in Blake Ferrenthold's office said, "The congressman is eager to respond to Ms. Green's allegations through the appropriate legal process. We are confident that once all the facts are revealed, he will be cleared of any wrongdoing." Now we can have our fun at Blake Ferrenthold's expense. But at the end of the day, when one of these right-wing, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian teabaggers uses the power of his position in order to make a young woman's life intolerable in hopes of using that power to leverage her into what can only be considered an absolutely obnoxious and disgusting sex act, or any sex act at all, well, it's just another day in the GOP, isn't it? Carol pointing out, I've seen that fat little troll's photo. There aren't enough bags, alcohol, or roofies for me to want that. Golly Moses. A little reminder here at 15 minutes past the hour, we still have the $100 wild rice premium on the table for those who wish it. We have on the table also as well, too, also. I said also twice, now three times. $75 premium in which News Ninja Carol Baker will hand select for you a Hooterville Ozark Holler gift basket of yummy stuff. And it is yummy, I guarantee it. And then at the $50 level, we have the bumper stickers, which were printed up on his own initiative by Lottie. He had them printed. They are lovely. And one of them can be yours. So just hit the PayPal interface, put a note in there saying what you want, where to send it, and it will be yours and on the way. Okie dokie, Sergi pointing out the yoga mat chemical has not been in Subway's bread for over a half a year by now. Not that the chemical was even harmful to human beings to begin with. It's in most major label breads by now. That's like when the Freedom disaster happened and they said, well, we have no data to suggest that methylchlorohexane methanol is dangerous, and then it turned out it was. I don't want yoga mat chemicals in my bread. I can make bread. When I make bread here at the house, I mean, I use flour, water, right? Yeast. If I'm feeling really, really hinky, maybe a little bit of buttermilk with a little bit of butter melted into it. Form it up, let it rise, put it down, let it rise a second time, form it up into loaves, put it in my French bread loaf pan when the oven works, let it rise again under a wet towel, and boom! Beautiful, beautiful, exquisite, delicious bread with absolutely no yoga mat chemical in it. Neat, huh? Let's see. This from Randy. It's official. Subway announced today that the yoga mat chemical azodicarbonamide will be gone from all of their bread by next week. But please, for the love of your body, don't go out and eat there just yet. Subway still hasn't released the new list of ingredients to the public or press, and I have a feeling that it's still going to contain a laundry list of chemicals that we shouldn't be eating and that are certainly not eat fresh. Like I said, I've always thought that Jared looked a little suspicious. What else? What else? What else? Something that Timothy sent me from down Georgia way. They're having a hissy down there, this being prayer meeting Wednesday. They're having a hissy down that way in the Atlanta suburb of Kennesaw over a Muslim congregation that wants to put up an Islamic center in a strip mall, in a vacant storefront in a strip mall. The city council, however, is saying, sorry, we can't be doing that. I mean, there's problems with parking. Ain't there another mosque somewhere around about? Timothy noting the city council has decided to reconsider the application. Mayor Mark Matthews keeps repeating this mantra. Kennesaw is a great place to live, work, play, learn, and worship. If, of course, you're worshiping the right God, and not that demon Allah. I'm adding all that part. This goes back to the first day of December. The city council denied a request by Muslim residents to use space in a retail shopping center as a prayer center by a 4-1 vote Monday night. The applicant, Sufa Dawat Center at Kennesaw, said the council's denial was a blatant attack on the applicant's First Amendment rights to practice religion freely. Meanwhile, one councilwoman did vote in favor of it. Chris Eaton Welsh said, I'm saddened. The amount of anger that has come out of this was not something I ever thought Kennesaw was all about. Yeah. Yes, it is. 2,200 square foot suite in a shopping center. They just want to go there and pray for all the good it'll do them. It's to be the Sufa Dawat Center at Kennesaw. Five daily prayers lasting 10 to 15 minutes apiece. One 40 to 45 minute weekly prayer service on Fridays. That could bring up 60 to 80 people. Won't have any more than 80. Council still voting to deny the request. You know, because Jesus. Some highlights. Deborah Williams of the Kennesaw City Council voted against the application. I believe it's a retail space. It's it's plain and simple as that. Karen Unts from Cumming, Georgia. There's no such thing as a temporary mosque. They claim the space and they teach Sharia law. Then Kamaral Hussein of Kennesaw said, my reaction is, am I living in the United States of America? And am I really free? Or am I just free if I'm like them, you know, Christians? Then there's Chad Legere of Mableton, Georgia. The Christian religion is very peaceful. It teaches us to turn the other cheek, and that's what we're doing. This flag with Star of David incites them. It makes them mad. Then there's James Helms, age 35. Some of the headlines are angering. I got a friend runs a salon in the same shopping center. She's there to make women beautiful, fix their hair, not cover them up. Just the fact that it's there may scare off some more of the meek and timid customers she may have from coming and getting a blue rinse on their hair. I added the coming and getting. No, but he did say, just the fact that it's there may scare off some more of the meek and timid customers she may have. Because, you know, that's what Jesus said. You got to be meek and timid, right? The meek shall inherit the earth. Doesn't say anything about any daggum Muslims. 68-year-old Carol Kelly, according to Timothy, is worried that the mosque could disrupt the Kennesaw that she knows and loves. All this violence in various countries, they've had problems with Arabs over the years. They want to be treated and tried by their own laws, not by American rules. I've not had any contact with them. They may be perfectly nice people. I'm just curious. Why Kennesaw? God almighty. Karen Unts from Cumming, still worked up. Remember that she's the one said there wasn't no such thing as a temporary mosque? She's out there protecting America. They get a bunch of people in an area, and then they institute Sharia law, and then they beat their wives, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to start happening all over the state. Everyone knows there's no such thing as a temporary mosque. They own it for aller. Gloria Williamson, Islam expert from Jasper, Georgia.
You can't, because
it's a cult. It's not a religion because they teach hate toward Americans. Then there's the local atheist, Holly.
It broke my heart to see them treated this way. I identify as an atheist, but I support all rights to religious freedom. My neighborhood is very diverse, and that's how I want my city to be.
So to review, Christians, you know, followers of the Prince of Peace, no mosque. Atheist, followers, sure, why not? Whatever. Oh, by the way, Randy wants to make sure that you know that the article about the azazobrizocarbonite or whatever, that was from April of this year. So the stuff is out of Subway spread. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, you know, the next 2 years are going to be a veritable cornucopia of deviant sexual hijinks in the Congress of the United States. Remember all the sleazy in-and-out stories that came out when the Repiglickens were trying to heel and hide Bill Clinton to the barn door? Henry Hyde's youthful indiscretion, Helen Chenoweth's affair, and then Bob Barr. Didn't Bob Barr fund an abortion or something? And Tennessee's got a member of the House of Representatives who's a fervent defender of the right to life, except when he's getting his
his girlfriend an abortion because he's still married to his wife. And you're right. On and on and on and on. But, you know, it really wouldn't be. It would not be. Prayer meeting Wednesday if we didn't have a visit from America's Protestant Pope. And by that I mean former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson. Marion, well, what do you call this except some sort of, like, I don't know, demented eugenics? Never mind the setup. Let's just go. Come on, Marion.
Crystal writes, I've been in church all my life with my family. We are not allowed to date. The only ones in my church that are married already knew their partners before coming into church. It is treated as a sin to show interest or have a mutual understanding in church with the opposite sex. Most of the people in the church are frustrated because we're getting older and no one is getting married. We pray about the issue, but it seems like it is bouncing back. What should I do?
Okay, so there's the question. You have you have a heterosexual Christian woman who wants to be able to at least hold hands with a heterosexual Christian boyfriend, preferably from her church. And she says, what do I do? Naturally, you know what this makes Marion Robertson think about.
You know, those who are homosexual...
Really? Stunning, isn't it? There wasn't a word in the question about the homosexuals. What's it like at dinner at the Robertson household? Hey, Grandpa, pass the bread rolls. You know, the homosexual bread. Pass the butter. Homosexual. Never mind. I'll go without. Well, homosexuals do that, too.
Bouncing back. What should I do?
You know, those who are homosexual will die out because they don't reproduce. You know, you have to have heterosexual sex to reproduce.
Now the young woman who's sitting there being his foil, who is apparently not the usual Cruella, does she like blink her eyes like somebody from the Pueblo or the Mayaguez whenever it looks like Pat's kind of going off the rails, just blink, 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 you know, SOS? Or does she have a little high sign? Hey, boys, get the big net. He's talking about the homos again. It wasn't a homo question. I thought we went over this in the pre-show.
Same thing with that church. It's doomed. It's going to die out because this is the most nonsensical thing I have heard in a long time. This is absurd. God has made us to be in families. God has created a desire of men and women to have attraction to the opposite sex so that they will reproduce and have children.
Just like Brent Barrenthold.
If I were you, I'd get out of that church as fast as I could, cast the dust of it on your feet, shake off the dust, and run.
Yeah, did you hear the chuckle? Yeah, at least we got him circled back, and got him circled the wagon back around to the question. Next! Yeah, you know what? All the homos are going to just die off because they can't reproduce. Kind of makes you wonder where your average homosexual comes from. Cabbage leaves? Storks? Pink flamingos, maybe? Because obviously, I mean, it can't possibly be coming from heterosexual parents now, can they? Hey, you remember last week we dealt a little bit with Craig James? He was one of the ponies
in the backfield at SMU back when they were getting the NCAA death penalty imposed upon him. He used to actually work for CBS Sports until it turned out that he was just a wild-eyed, bug-ass bigot. And, of course, once you've added that to your resume, it means that you're a lock for a job with maybe the Family Research Council. Remember, that's the outfit right now. That's not the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan. No, this is the Family Research Council, which was started with a mailing list purchased from David Duke from the Ku Klux Klan by Tony Norman. Yes, Mother Bates Perkins. Okay. Well, thank you, Carol. Everybody knows Homer sectionals come from IKEA, Bob. Yeah, well, right. Yeah, because they're sectionals and they're probably made of. You know, well, Craig James, and I don't understand why these questions get asked, but they do. So you just kind of have to deal with it. I don't know what it would be like. I mean, we open the phone lines here for conversation. We call what we do here conversation radio. And I enjoy the heck out of the conversations along the way, by the way. I really, really do. But I don't get calls from anybody wanting to kill anybody. You know, one of my favorite songs, it's kind of one of the theme songs for this program, or spiritual, whatever, is Donald Fagen's The Night Fly, in which there's that verse, "So you say there's a race of men in the trees, you're for tough legislation, thanks for calling, I wait all night for calls like these." And that sort of speaks to the vicissitudes of doing open phone radio in a small market, and you never know what somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, because Lester the Night Fly is working the midnight shift. Hello, Baton Rouge. Don't forget to turn your radio down. You never know what you're going to get at 2 o'clock in the morning. Dude's either going to be drunk or on the night shift, or maybe both. But I don't get calls here, and as a longtime listener to, say, Malloy, and a frequent listener to Rick Smith and to Dr. Bill, and I've never heard anybody call, you know what I want to know? I want to know, can we kill them? This, however, is not the case if you're working for the Family Research Council, and particularly Washington Watch. Now, okay, things got a little dicey over on C-SPAN earlier this week, when a couple of bickering brothers, one conservative, one a liberal, got a call from their mama on air asking them to please behave when they come home for Christmas dinner, because everybody's family doesn't argue like this all the time like you two did at Thanksgiving. He called the boys out, straightened them up. Now, it was a beautiful thing. But then there's what happens with the Family Research Council and Craig James and Washington Watch. And, oh, Jesus.
Philip in Arkansas on 90.5. Man, got to be really quick, my friend. What do you got on your mind?
Okay, I'm going to say something very horrific. A solution. And I think it's the right solution.
Wait,
for the homosexuals.
Wait. Philip from Arkansas has a solution. And it's horrific. So I only stopped it because I hadn't asked you to get the hockey pucks out, or if you hadn't, because if you didn't have them back with Blake Farenthold, this would be the time, okay?
Horrific. A solution. And I think it's the right solution. Okay, we pray for the homosexuals. We pray for our enemies. But at the same time, when they try to force us to go against God, I think that's where they cross the line, and we should pass laws to execute them when they have judges to go against our businesses. They don't do not have that God, that right to force us to go against God. I'm sorry. I will pray for them in the meantime. I know that's horrific, and God forgive me if I'm wrong.
He's in your imagination, so he probably will, Philip. Now, this is just a little thought experiment. How do you handle that? I'd like to think that if that happened with me, I would say something about, you know, no, we don't want to kill anybody. Nonviolence is the way. We're not out to, right, you know, no kill. But then again, we're liberal, we're progressive, we oppose things like the death penalty, killing in the name of the state, what have you. You want to hear a former sports blatherer, right-wing Christian freak fail a test? This is it.
Yeah, you have okay. Good, sir.
Thank you, Philip. You know what? That part there, I don't know about the executing, but I do know that we have to be bold and firm. And
he doesn't know about the executing. He doesn't know. But we do have to be bold and firm. Thank you, Goddess of Irony, for the bold and firm. I'll leave you a bowl of pasta out or something. Doesn't know about the executing, though. Not really sure about whether or not we should execute somebody for how they love somebody else. I mean, that could possibly maybe be something that we might want to think about doing the horizontal crucifixion over. Yes, absolutely. I don't know about the crucifixion. I don't know about the executing. Hmm? Okay, did you have anything else to say there, Craig?
Much stronger. God doesn't tell us and call us that we have to be timid and to stand for our beliefs.
To stand for our straight, our beliefs. Oh, Dr. Freud. He's enjoying a Cuban cigar. Never mind.
I'm doing a course right now in seminary, and it's the history of the early church. And it's fascinating. Well, there have been lots and lots and lots of men and women who have died for their Christian beliefs since the beginning. And now we are in a time in this country and in this world where we must be bold and stand for God and His truths.
Unless, of course, one of those truths is thou shalt not kill, in which case you don't have to be so bold and be telling Philip from Arkansas, no, you are being most unchristian. Jesus himself was executed. What makes you think Jesus would want anybody else to be executed insofar as he lived through that agony? I'm not sure. Not sure at all. Yeah, just not sure about the executing part, but, not sure. Mother. So, good God Almighty, I just looked at the time. Time flies when you're having fun. It is 22 minutes before the hour. But there's so much here. Now, Blake Farenthold is out there wanting to tell his staffers about the wet dreams he's been having. That's Texas. Let's move a little north up to Carroll's neck of the woods and Missouri Stan. Story from Mother Jones. Molly Redden reporting that State Representative Rick Bratton has filed a bill in the Missouri legislature there in Jefferson City that reads as follows. No abortion shall be performed or induced unless and until the father of the unborn child provides written, notarized consent to the abortion. Now, being as how State Representative Rick Bratton is an upstanding, God-fearing, compassionate conservative, he did put a couple of outs in there. One of them is, in case where the woman upon whom the abortion is to be performed or induced was the victim of rape or incest, or if and the woman has a notarized affidavit attesting to the fact that the man who impregnated her is deceased. A notarized affidavit attesting to the fact. Wouldn't a death certificate do? So here's the fun part. Molly Redden over at Mother Jones actually interviewed this troglodyte and said, yes, yes, we've got a rape exception in there. They always make us put it in there. Because, you know, didn't we have that conversation a couple of years back? Yeah. But here's the joker in the deck. There's a rape exception. However, in order to use the rape exception, our pregnant vagina person would have to prove the rape. And that wasn't Molly Redden of Mother Jones saying it. That was representing Bratton saying it. Just like any rape, you have to report it and you have to prove it. So, you know, show me, right? It's Missouri. It's the show me state. So you couldn't just go and say, oh, yeah, I was raped and get an abortion. It has to be a, wait for it. There it is, hanging right over the plate. Looks like a cassava melon. It has to be a legitimate rape. There's something about that phrase in Missouri, it's in the water, I don't know, because it was Todd Akin who gave us legitimate rape to talk about a couple of years ago. It was Todd Akin who said that women don't get pregnant by legitimate rape because the female body will shut the whole thing down. Realizing that he had just stepped into the... Stepped onto the slippery slope that leads into the pit. Representing Bratton said, I'm just saying, if there was a legitimate rape, you're going to make a police report, just as if you were robbed. That's just common sense. Representing Bratton has apparently never been raped. He knows nothing about the shame that accompanies it. He knows nothing about social stigma. He knows nothing about what crafty defense attorneys do to women on the stand trying to testify about the rape which was perpetrated upon them. He knows nothing about the statistics of rapes that go unreported in this country. Nope. Okay. Really? Consent of the man? When you're introducing bills like that, how far are you from the introduction of the bill that just says a woman is property of the man? Oh, wait, that's what that says. Whew. Well, you know, traditional, God-fearing, upstanding. Traditional marriage, traditional biblical marriage that folks like Mr. Bratton are so damn fond of, it is a property transfer. And you would have to have the consent of the husband in traditional biblical marriage, you'd have to have the consent of the husband to leave the property, lines, right? Hey, Carol.
Hello.
Sorry.
Am I trying to talk while gritting my teeth?
Right. Yeah, just trying not to grind them into little nubs.
I'm trying to keep from screaming. Because, you know, they never consider what happens to the woman after the fact. You know, she's got to ask her rapist for permission to have an abortion. And then if he says no, then the court, he can then turn around in this state and demand visitation with his little rape baby. And so now she has to literally make herself available to her rapist at his whim.
Well, I mean, isn't that straight out of the Old Testament?
No, I thought in the Old Testament he had to, like, pay the daddy and then marry her or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has to, right. She has to get all married up.
Shit, he doesn't even have to get married up here in the I'll show you state.
God. I gotta stop starting programs without the swirly straw in the fruit jar. Honest to God, I do.
Well, you know, I tried your swirly straw, except I kept having a problem with chunks getting caught in it.
Eesh, I know.
So now I'm just sipping straight from the bottle.
Yeah, just right out of the fruit. Yeah, because them little hunks of strawberry and stuff floating in the bottom of the fruit jar will clog your swirly straw.
That's right. Dear Representative, you're the reason Mommy drinks.
Mommy drinks because you breathe.
That's right. And it's just the stupidity, I mean, that comes from this state as of late is like, I mean, I actually had somebody say to me today that Missouri is a magnet for losers and people who migrate from Kentucky and we're all just a bunch of racists. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, you know, some of us actually like came here after the crash because it was cheap to live here. And, you know, I confess I'm such a pedestrian that I have this thing about living indoors.
And you know, easy with that broad brush, right? I mean, here I sit in West Virginia.
Well, I have to admit, one of my friends commented, he goes, well, that was a whole lot of tongue for a first date there. And I thought, I don't have to say anything else.
No, just walk away.
Just walk away.
I noticed the one line on Facebook where somebody said, there's a reason that we don't sell teeth brushes here?
Yeah, we don't sell teeth brushes in Missouri.
Sell a toothbrush.
Well, because there's only, you know, a handful of us that have more than one.
Oh,
and I'm proud to say I still have all mine.
Yay. Well, and that's because of the time you weren't in Missouri.
Well, and the fact that, you know.
While we're wandering around the wonders of Missouri, let's go ahead and talk pool noodle.
You know, I was so pissed about that. There is a story, and this happened in Kansas City, so it's not like it happened in Hooterville or, you know, Maysville or wherever it was that they set out the fried chicken and shit. So, yes, in Kansas City, there was a little blind boy on a bus, and apparently he hit another kid with his cane. And, you know, he could have accidentally hit the kid with his cane because he's, you know, blind. And, well, the bus drivers decided that as a punitive measure that she would take the little blind boy's cane from him and replace it with a foam pool noodle so that he couldn't hurt anybody with it. And the school's response was, well, he got that cane from the school and it was school property, so bitch wasn't fired.
It was this paragraph that did me in. The boy attended his sister's concert using the pool noodle to guide him, but he said the flotation device didn't work as well. Well, duh!
Yeah. It doesn't.
It's a floppy-ass pool noodle!
Yeah, that doesn't make noise when it taps against something that's kind of, like, critical to the auditory needs of a, you know, blind person. I'm just sitting there going, what the hell? I mean, I was only kidding when I said I wanted to change the state motto from Welcome to Missouri, we make Texas look good. I was kidding. I'm sorry. I take it back.
This is, and you know, there are stages and degrees of blindness, and there's different ways to wind up blind.
This kid was born with no eyeballs.
He was born with no eyes. Bilateral anophthalmia, and I don't even think libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul could fix that. No eyes.
No eyes. And I'd imagine she was a good Christian.
Oh, they all are, aren't they? I think you got to be one to get a bus driving job. I know you do in West Virginia.
You got to be one to get any job around here, trust me. It was just the unbelievable insensitivity of the whole thing. I mean, it's one thing to take it away from him while he's on the bus, but when the kid gets off the bus, you give him his goddamn cane back.
Right, and well, what his father said, Carol, you know, you can just, in a way, you can hear the pain in Daddy's voice. His daddy said, all around, he's a good little guy, and he shouldn't be treated the way he's being treated. He's a good little guy.
I don't know too many little kids who aren't good little guys.
Right. You know, unless you're some bitter old bus driver with apparently a sadistic streak. Why does the bus driver have a pool noodle anyway?
Well, I guess I never considered that part of the story, Bob. Kind of sounds planned.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes, Carol, for how my mind works. You ever seen a pool noodle?
Well, yeah, I have some here because...
Aren't they about 8-10 feet long?
No, they're probably about 4 or 5 feet long.
We're talking about an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah, it's probably about as tall as he is.
Right. So what's he got? He's got it in both hands, you know, sort of pounding it on the... No, this stinks.
Yeah, it stinks.
It's kind of like, and I have to just sort of do a self-check every now and then to make sure that I'm not completely coming unglued. It's like watching the story unfold of the suppression of a bad buddy road movie in the United States now. The Interview?
Yeah, Sony pulled it.
Yeah,
they're not going to release it.
Nobody. And I've already sat in a movie theater and seen the trailers for it and looked at Ferg and said, "No way, I'm dropping ticket money on that."
No, and the thing is the movie is such a dog, guaranteed to be a money loser. Why didn't Sony just say, fuck you, I'm sending it straight to Netflix and Amazon Prime, and hell, we'll just let you stream it for free straight from our website.
You're going to have to kill every computer in America, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. But what did they do? They threw up their hands and said, oh, we're afraid. And now, supposedly, they've got proof that it was South Korea who hacked the website.
South or North?
Or North Korea, rather. North Korea. And what are they going to do to us? It isn't exactly like they've got a rocket that launches.
I'm really conflicted about this. Because... Sony's not out there turning out the Grapes of Wrath and, Citizen Kane and...
Trust me, I spent 10 years as a technical writer for Sony Pictures as a part-time job.
Okay.
They would messenger these tapes over. And what it was they would send the movie trailers over, and they had to be... They would come over with a visible time code, and you had to write the technical script so that they knew how to do like the subtitles and stuff. And it was only the pictures that they released for foreign distribution. And the money that I made was obscene. The amount of money that they would pay me to do this, because it didn't take me very long to do it. But it takes a certain kind of... You have to be very right-brained in order to understand what it is that they're looking for. It's not difficult. It's a very exacting science as to how to do it.
Well, speaking of technical... Okay, good. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
But I have to tell you, they have a very... they had like a vault that you when they went to digital and they were filming digital and they're doing all the editing digital, then they started sending me, they stopped with sending a messenger all the way to Hooterville with a tape thing, and they had this vault, and I mean the security to get into this thing was insane. And that's why I'm sitting there going, my God, I could barely get in to get the work. Well, so,
okay, so here, last night, via the miracle of the internet, I caught a little bit of Lawrence O'Donnell.
Yeah.
And so he has this young kid, and I'm sorry, everybody, I guess I'm at the age where everybody's a kid now, but I mean, the young man looked like he could not have been more than 24.
Mm-hmm.
But he was apparently this really, really smart young man who has devoted his entire young life to the study of East Asian terrorism.
Yes.
And Lawrence O'Donnell had him on with the apparently predetermined and mistaken belief that the young man was going to say, Kim Jong-un, bruga bruga, bruga bruga, Kim Jong-un, be very afraid, America, be scared, bruga bruga, Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out, when Lawrence tossed the question to him, he said, well, really, when you get right down to it, North Korea doesn't really have the capacity to go blowing up a bunch of movie theaters and pull off a 9/11 on us.
Well, isn't that what I said?
Yes. And the reason I bring that up, A, because you said that, and B, because, bless his heart, Lawrence O'Donnell came back and argued with the guy.
Oh, God.
And I'm sitting here, you know, you get another year older, you behave a little more like John McCain. I'm sitting here screaming at the monitor. Get off my lawn! I'm screaming, going, Lawrence, because he doubles back on the young man and says something like, well, you know, on September 11th, none of us thought that anybody, this is a century of firsts. This is the century in which planes were first used as missiles. And I'm thinking, goddamn, Lawrence, kamikaze much?
Yeah, no shit. It's not like they hadn't been doing that since.
He's trying to get this kid to say, you know, be afraid, be very afraid. I'm sorry.
And the kid wasn't having it.
And he wasn't having it, and he kept saying, and I'm screaming at the, and he's, but you know, this is America, and obviously anybody can go in and shoot up a movie theater. And by this point in time, you know, the froth is forming on my lips, Carol. You know, I'm purple in the face, and I'm screaming, Lawrence, Lawrence, a white guy did that. Not a Korean, Lawrence. Not a Muslim, Lawrence. A white guy with a gun, Lawrence.
Bob, my sister is 4'10" and 110 soaking wet, and I'm more afraid of her than I am of Kim Jong Un.
What? And I mean, did you read the threatening note? Now, did you read the threatening note from North Korea?
No.
It was after I read the threatening note. I was reading on your Facebook page. It was after I read the threatening note from North Korea that I wrote that this, you know, this really does look like the plot of a really, really bad movie come up with by a desperate PR flack for a movie studio.
Well, you know, that's not out of the question.
Because this goes back to, why is there a pool noodle on the bus?
Well, who was it that, U.S. law enforcement sources say that hackers working for North Korea were behind the Sony attack, but that doesn't mean that the hackers working for North Korea weren't also employed by Sony.
So here's the threatening note. And out of respect, I'm not going to read it in some sort of stupid dialect.
Okay.
Because the temptation is just far too great, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Warning, and I'm going to read this exactly as it is printed, because I thought about this when you were talking about being a technical writer.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently North Korea does not have anybody who is able to do anything in English without Google Translate.
Oh.
Warning, we will clearly show it to you at the very time and places the interview be shown, including the premiere, how bitter fate those who seek fun in terror should be doomed to, period. Soon all the world will see what an awful movie Sony Pictures Entertainment has made. You know, why not leave that to Rotten Tomatoes? They're quite competent at letting people know. The world will be full of fear. Remember the 11th of September 2001. We recommend you to keep yourself distant from the places at that time. If your house, paren, they know about the parens, if your house is nearby, you'd better leave. Whatever comes in the coming days is called by the greed of Sony Pictures Entertainment. All the world will denounce the Sony.
I've been denouncing Sony for years.
But honest to God, I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like, I don't know, something from a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but if I were working for Sony and I wanted it to sound like somebody who used Google Translate, then I'd probably write something a lot like
all of a
that.
Sudden, we're back to Jimmy James Macho Donkey Wrestler.
Yeah. Coming Christmas Day.
Oh, no, I've been there. But see, they've already premiered it once, and nothing happened. Because they had a premiere, although the news report said, significantly scaled down premiere.
Right.
Really? There was really... See, I think even that's BS, Carol, because what kind of splashy premiere were they going to have for this thing in the first place?
Exactly.
It's James Franco and Seth Rogen.
The movie was a dog. If you wanted to make money, all you had to do was this. Everybody is so curious about what's... Because Americans are dumb. You know, we cancel The Newsroom because America's too busy digging Jersey Shore and Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. I mean, we embrace the stupid.
Do you know that they even canceled an appearance by Seth Rogen and James Franco on Jimmy Fallon over this?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Was Jimmy afraid of the terrorist?
No, but America is afraid of its shadow. Because, I don't want to make this, you know, too far over the top, but maybe I've already gone there. This is a kind of, see, I see this of a piece with a country 50% of whom approve of putting hummus up people's recta.
Yeah, but it's most of those 50% still don't believe that Obama was born here.
I know, but the larger point, Carol, is that this all comes from a place of just water-boweled, gut-bending fear.
Seriously, are my balls that big?
Yes.
I don't
wear the mini skirts.
Do these people make my balls look that big?
Yes, they do.
I'm just not that afraid.
The Mediaite story on it is kind of fascinating because of all the people it could possibly quote, it quotes representing Peter King of New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now there's a bastion of intellect. Go ahead.
So he shows up on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer where, well, Peter King, we'll have to leave it there. But Peter King shows up on the big telescreen and says, I'm not a big movie guy. You know, okay, just a big guy. And he says, it wouldn't be my thing to go and see this movie, but he said, now I may just have to go and see it as an act of defiance. Really? That's America, you know, bombs bursting in air, rockets red, that America, you know, I've seen the terrible swift sword and all of that, and over there, we'll be over when it's over there. And that America is reduced to going to a movie as an act of defiance.
Go shopping.
There we are. If you don't go to Disney World, the terrorists win.
There you go. And if you don't watch this idiotic movie, the terrorists win.
So here's a question.
And this, I am stupider for it.
This is Sony Pictures.
Yeah.
Sony is not MGM. Louis B. Mayer is not chomping on a cigar somewhere, like out of the, you know, some scene from Barton Fink. Could it be that this has terrified the suits in Tokyo? Is that where this is coming from? Because I'm trying to figure out a way, Carol, for us not to be just a bunch of lily-livered cowards here.
Well, I've got one of the executives' emails addresses if, you know, we need to start a "why are you being such a pussy" campaign.
I mean, I'm really of two minds about this because, on the one hand, I feel really icky sticking up for Sony. Or any movie studio, for that matter, I guess.
I'm not sticking up for Sony, because if they were truly interested in standing up for what was right, they'd say, screw it, we don't give a shit if we make any... They're not going to make any money if they don't release it, so why not just release it for free?
And just take the lick.
And say, there you go. You don't want us to put it in movie theaters? You win.
And then it was the movie theater chains themselves that made this worse, because I think the first announcement I heard earlier today was that Carmike Cinemas said that it would not screen on some 2,500 screens across the United States, and then a couple of other movie chains moved in as well and said, no, not us either.
Fine.
I mean, is this coming down from the risk management boys in the insurance department? I mean, where's this coming
probably
from?
Probably. But still, if they do it my way, you completely absolve the movie theater owners. You completely erase your liability. Why not do it my way?
Yeah.
If you're not going to release it and you're not going to make any money, then just release it for free. Send it to everybody. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Are they going to hack every computer in America? Are they going to bomb every household in America? I've seen their test launches for their rockets. I'm sincerely just so underwhelmed.
There's a bigger threat. I seem to recall seeing some note from you back around the 4th of July about the festivities there around Lake Hooterville.
Oh, God.
Are you telling me they were a bigger threat to national security with the Hooterville Bottle Rocket Brigade?
Let me tell you something. Them bastards know what they're doing. when you add guns and beer and explosives, I'm telling you what, it's a damn party.
Well, it ain't no fun till something gets blowed up.
Of course, you know, they always save back their fireworks for grand jury results or for trials.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. The night that George Zimmerman was found completely innocent of killing Trayvon Martin, I went out and videotaped the hooting and the hollering and the shaking of cheap champagne and beer that they were pouring all over themselves, screaming racial epithets. And I finally came in the house and locked myself in the house when they got out their guns and when they were getting really drunk and started shooting, because I honestly feared a stray bullet. But it was fire. They saved back their fireworks that night. They were shooting off fireworks for George Zimmerman here.
Oh, God.
It was a party. And the night that Tuesday night that Bob McCulloch came out and gave that disgusting 20-minute presser.
They lit the fireworks on that, too?
They lit the fireworks on that one. But it was too cold to go out and, you know, shoot off their guns and have their little drunken beer bash, and it was a Tuesday.
So they were saving their beer money for Friday?
Well, you know, it wasn't the first of the month, so, you know, they hadn't gotten their government checks yet, so.
Their money check?
Yeah. But, you know, theirs is always justified.
I just figured it out. You live next door to the Squidbillies.
Well, pretty close.
You live next door to the Kyler clan.
Cletus and little Cletus and
Early and Rusty and Granny.
His cousin's sister wife, Euphigenia.
Uncle Daddy!
It's very hard living here when you see so many of them swimming in the shallow end of the gene pool.
It can't be easy.
Where men are men and sheep are very afraid.
Oh, and the women folks is getting a little relief.
And they're grateful for it.
Right, because otherwise they'd have to ask permission to get the abortion, right?
Pretty much. Little Cletus's wife, Coitus. I should not be reading the chat room while I'm talking to you because
no, that's out of the chat room. I'm so proud.
That was Ron Kellison, Cletus, little Cletus, and Cletus's
wife, Coitus.
Coitus.
Oh God.
Yeah, I forgot to mute.
Oh, I had to mute on that one. Wait a minute. Hadn't done that all night, but, you know, you can't do that for Cletus Jr. and Coitus.
Well, now I try to spot Cletus everywhere I can now that I finally got the picture of the vehicle.
Really? You've seen Cletus around?
Yeah, didn't you see that? I posted a picture on Facebook. I was following this guy. I was down in Kansas City.
No. I remember the original photo. That's what I'm asking you. You've seen him again?
Yes. Yes, right off of Southwest Boulevard and 71 Highway. Right off the Grandview Triangle.
Oh, my God.
Where the sniper was.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
I'm telling you what, the fagoot's everywhere.
Can't swing it not without hitting a fagoot. Oh, do you remember the ladies of Delta Gamma from the other night?
Oh yeah, the suck a nigga dick kink.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, okay, that was the University of Maryland. Well, the University of Maryland is not all that far, Carol, from Penn State, from the University of Pennsylvania, Penn.
Right.
Now, this is an Ivy, okay?
Sure.
This ain't no state land-grant institution or nothing. This is a freaking Ivy. And at Penn, they have a chapter of Phi Delta Theta.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out their annual Christmas card from the Brotherhood. Yeah, you know this isn't going to end well, right?
It never does with the Greeks.
Phi Delta Theta wishes you a Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas is in some strange font. It's not Comic Sans or anything, but some strange font. With alternating letters in red and green. And all the brothers are there, and some got their... Oh, there's a Cowboys fan, and somebody with a P on it. I guess that's for Penn. And some little dude wearing red Christmas long johns. I you not. But some facial hair, some non-facial hair. They're all white except for one dude who looks like he might be maybe related to somebody from the Indian subcontinent.
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't notice it. It's like those internet memes you see that, you know, when you see this, you'll freak out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in the back row, on one end, and he's got his arm around her, is a, and you know how they look? They got the big, wide-open O of a mouth, and it's pink. They got a dark-skinned female blow-up doll.
Yeah.
No kidding. The newspaper there at Penn, the Daily Pennsylvanian, said the Christmas card was posted on Facebook by a Phi Delta Theta brother over the weekend. Two dozen white brothers posing with a black sex toy, the blow-up doll.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything began to go sideways, at which point the brothers of Phi Delta Theta at the University of Pennsylvania, again, this is an Ivy, decided that the best thing to do, since they were all so very smart, they were all such very smart young white men, who, because they were able to get into a, you know, an Ivy, right? I mean, these are smart kids. I mean, they're not going to Hooterville Community College, right?
Well, to get in, you only need a pack of the Big Eight crayons and a Big Chief tablet, but go ahead.
They tried to explain that it was just a harmless practical joke, and that it wasn't racial at all, but that the blow up doll's name was Beyonce.
I'm not a racist, but
no, it wasn't racial at all. I mean, that's just our Beyonce.
It was purely coincidental that we happened to buy the color doll.
Let's see. The inclusion of a racially and sexually charged object in such a flagrant fashion displays a serious and immediate need for repercussions that reflect the severity of this misogynistic racist offense. That is what was said by a coalition of organizations that took umbrage at the thing. We, UMOJA, APSC, UMC, Latin AT Coalition, Lambda Alliance, and PCUW, firmly believe that when an event like this marginalizes one of our communities, it marginalizes us all, which is true. Because you don't get to say, it's plastic. It's not a human being, right? I mean, it's not like we had a cake that said, suck up. Well, never mind. And by way of apologizing, Phi Delta Theta said that, it was distasteful. Once removed from the packaging, it bore no semblance to the artist beyond skin color, adding to its offensive nature. In other words, they were victimized by marketing, not by the stupid decision to pose with a black blow-up doll in their Christmas card photo.
Don't you just hate it when that happens?
You know what, Mom, Dad, Phi Delta Theta moms and dads, write Penn, get your tuition back, bring them home, send them to Hooterville Community College, because somebody in the marketing department is lying to them. Really? Yeah. Really? Somebody bought a Beyonce blow-up doll thinking that they would just, you know, and, hey, this doesn't look like Beyonce at all, damn it! Well, we got to pose with her in the picture anyway.
For what it's worth, I have the recipe for the suck-a-crack-a-dick cake, but I'll warn you, ain't enough batter to fill a mini muffin tin.
Yeah, I know. But the Phi Delta Theta did go on. There were absolutely no... I'm using the wrong voice. I mean, this isn't Ivy. There were absolutely no prejudicial motivations. But the absence of racial motivation is no justification for this act of poor judgment, and the decision not to include a sex toy in a holiday picture should have been an easy one.
Excuse me, I meant Muffy Tin.
Ba-dum-bum. She'll be here all week. Don't try the veal. Oh, God.
We dine with the snotheads at 8.
Kind of almost makes you wonder if Blake Farenthold went to Penn or it was a Phi Delta Theta.
I don't know. That whole blowme.org. I mean, I swear, I've seen that man's picture. Ugh.
I know.
Mirrors, Blake, get one.
I was thinking. Never mind.
then, of course, there's Texas again. I just love sharing these with you, especially if I think the ones that I think you may not have seen.
I read the whole internet before breakfast.
I know. You and Gene. So this is a story from KPRC-TV. And it's the story of a man who moved from Ohio to Texas last year. And, you know, in Texas, they don't want any of them job-killing regulations.
Right.
So this individual, 54-year-old Norman Burback.
Norman?
Yes, Mother Bates. 54-year-old Norman Burback got himself a job at the local McDonald's. Being a Santa. That's all. You know, and the little kids come up and, you know, well, what do you want for Christmas? I'd like a book of 50 of McDonald's land coupons. Oh. That's what he did. I've never known McDonald's to have Santas before, but
me neither.
But apparently they do there in Busted Knuckle, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Baytown, I'm sorry, which sounds like, wasn't Baytown where the Hardy Boys lived? Baytown, Texas. Norman Burback, Santa Claus for the local McDonald's. And it turns out that he's got a 22-year-old bust for raping an 11-year-old boy back in Ohio.
Ancient history.
Did 12 years. Got out.
He paid his dues to society.
Yeah, and got out and last.
Okay, that's right. They don't really get over that, do they?
No. But last year he saw the light and he moved to Texas.
Uh-huh.
Where he didn't find
it necessary to talk about his, you know, background.
History, right. And so when the police there in Baytown got a tip that there was a convicted little boy raper acting as the Santa Claus, they went and they interviewed him, by God. You know how we know this guy was white? He's not dead.
There you go.
Eric Freed, police spokesman for Baytown, said, him putting on a Santa Claus costume and having children in his lap, however unsettling that is for parents to hear, it was not a violation of Texas law.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Sorry, that was...
In Texas, sex offenders are not barred from being around children unless their parole or probation prohibits contact with minors.
Is he not a registered sex offender?
He forgot.
Well...
Or maybe he did. Yeah, he's a registered sex offender. So McDonald's hired him anyway. Because why would you... And see, it always boils down to a question of corporate conduct, doesn't it, Carol? Because, you know, you're McDonald's. You entice children into your store with a clown motif, right? And you decide to hire yourself a Christmas Santa. Why in God's name would you do something as dumb as run a background check on the guy you hire to be Santa? I mean, he checked off the box and said, you know, have you ever raped a little boy? Nope. Well, that's good enough for McDonald's.
Speaking of Santas.
Oh, wait. He did. No, he didn't. Oh, McDonald's wouldn't say whether he underwent a background check before they hired him.
Oh.
Which means no. Because McDonald's went on to say, but we are gathering information. In other words, we're chasing down the horse after it's about 2 miles out of the barn.
And in the meantime, is he still permitted to fondle little children on his lap?
It may be unsettling, but it ain't again the law in Texas.
That's, like, sick on so many levels.
Well, one would hope
And, you know, we all know about hope, right, Carol? One would hope that perhaps McDonald's would decide that the better part of valor was not to... But then again, there's always the boys in the risk management department going, you know, we could have an unlawful termination case. Oh, wait, this is Texas. We can fire anybody for any reason or no reason. Can him. Well, it seems awful cruel to do at the holiday season, don't you think?
Well, Daddy always said you could shit in one hand and hope in the other one and see which one gets
filled up first. Exactly. Oh, hi, Barbie. I forgot our hi, Barbie. Hi, Barbie.
She's listening.
I know. I had to share those with you, and I thought you might enjoy it, well, or at least be, not enjoy, but we could be sort of horrified at the same time.
Well, here's further horrification. Gun nut Santa.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. A firing range decided to hire a Santa, and now, it wasn't a political statement about guns. This isn't political, but you can have little Cletus and Iphigenia pose for a picture with Santa, and he's fondling his AK-47 in one hand, and he's fondling little Iphigenia in the other. And you can have it, look, there, your children's picture taken with Santa, but it's not political, and it's not about guns.
No, it's never about guns.
No.
Ho, 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 Wolverines!
Yeah, never bought guns. But how would you like that? How would you like to have your
It was at the range, though, right?
Yeah, it was at the range.
So that means only your good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christian, Second Amendment freedom protectors are going to be there, right?
Yeah. But hey, I hear at least he wasn't a sex offender.
Take your victories where you can get them, Carol.
I reckon. This is the reason mommy drinks.
And this one may be a little hard to explain, but I saw on my Facebook page where somebody had reposted a post from Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this today, but apparently a South Carolina court reviewed the execution death of a 14-year-old African-American boy from 1944.
44, yeah, saw it.
George Stinney.
Yeah.
And they ruled that his rights were roundly and soundly violated, and they overturned the conviction.
Right. Which makes him undead, right?
No. So somebody over there, yes, he is dead. He's still dead.
Damn.
So somebody over, because Rand Paul is constantly having to burnish his I'm not a racist even though my daddy is one, and I hired a guy who was an unrepentant neo-Confederate to work for my campaign. He's got all of those problems. So every now and then he has to post something on his Facebook page that shows he's not.
Uh-huh.
So he posts, or whoever posts for Rand Paul 2016 or whatever it is, posts this story. And just by virtue of the way Facebook operates, it shows Rand Paul and then the story, and the comment under Rand Paul is, "This is a travesty," or "What a travesty," or something like that. And it's and all you see is judge overturns 1944 conviction.
Smooth, Randy. Smooth.
Well, sometimes that thing on his head gets a little gets its tentacles a little deep into his brain, and
oh, dear sweet baby Jesus, what was he thinking?
Well, you know, the goddess of irony is never too far away.
You remind me of that all the time, and I'm more and more convinced that you're right.
I'm agnostic about great big bearded juvenile delinquents in the sky, but oh, mercy sakes. By the way, we got a question from Tim.
Yes.
A question about the Missouri abortion permission story.
Yes, my Virginia is on high alert. What would you like to know, Tim?
State Tim Wright, brother, it's Wednesday, isn't it? Brother, okay. Tim writes, State Representative Rick Bratton says, "No abortion shall be performed or induced unless and until the father of the unborn child provides written notarized consent to the abortion."
That's right.
So if a woman's husband is deported or passes on, how can the father of the child write a note? Well, you can get a notarized statement that he is dead. But what's clear about it, the death certificate will not do.
That's right. That's not what the law says.
Right. So, and he continues, just like any rape, you have to report it and you have to prove it, said Bratton. So you couldn't just go and say, oh, yeah, I was raped, and get an abortion. It has to be a legitimate rape, quoting.
That's right.
So then Tim says, so when does the burden of proof fall upon the woman to prove she was raped? When it is the state who becomes the victim, hence the state of Missouri versus Joe Rapist. And by the time the witness, the woman, goes through the hearing as a witness, after all the delays, having an abortion is illegal.
Problem solved.
Right. So does she have to, and I hadn't even thought about that, under representing Bratton's brand-new, shiny, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian law, does the woman have to go all the way through the trial process? Does there have to be a finding of guilt for rape?
Well, you know, we definitely want to leave that as ambiguous as possible. Because as soon as she goes to fight that in court...
Well, she will be roundly...
She will be too far along to do anything about it. It'll be, you know, the judge will take one look at that and go, kind of a moot case there with you, your big belly staring back at me.
Yeah, what you going to name it?
That's right.
Or I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes continuances and things like that, she might actually take the stand with her little rape baby in her arms.
That's right.
And then the defense counsel can say, are you telling me you wanted to abort that precious little darling in your arms there? What kind of sicko are you?
That's right. See how beautifully that works. Oh, and Mr. Bratton also said, and I don't really care if your husband beats you. I don't care if you're a victim of domestic violence. His sin does not mean that the baby should die.
Oh, God, that again.
He said that.
Of course he did. Where is Rick Bratton from, by the way?
Let's see.
Busted knuckle, left elbow.
I don't know, actually. He's not from anywhere. I've never heard of him before, to tell you the truth.
Hannibal.
As in Lecter?
No, as in home of Mark
Twain. I know, yeah. As in Mark Twain.
Pike County.
Over on the other side of the state, which is why I've never heard of him.
Yeah, please, God, don't let him be from Callaway County.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, that's the only county in Missouri that really, 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 really matters to me. Because that's where the alma mater is.
Ah. No, he's not from Callaway County, because I know where your alma mater is.
Okay. Yeah, there's Stockton Larry in the chat room. He's from the greater bumfuck area? Thereabouts.
Well, that's a little bit of a broad description there, Larry.
That's the state of Missouri.
You're pretty much, once you get outside of St. Louis or Kansas City or, I think we're stretching it when we say Springfield, you're pretty much in the greater bumfuck area, buddy.
Yeah, and that includes Jefferson City.
Yeah, Jeff City is not a big place at all. I mean, I can drive through it and...
No, Jeff City makes Frankfort, Kentucky look kind of big.
Yeah.
By the way, Piedra pointed out, only a wife beater would make that kind of statement.
Well, you know, here's where his argument lies. He said, well, I had to get my wife's written permission in order to get a vasectomy. Well, yeah, but that wasn't state mandated. There's no place in the country where a man has to...
No, that's a doctor covering his own...
That was a doctor covering his own ass. And if you didn't like it, you could have gone to another doctor. Laid your balls out on the table, and small as they are, and said, snip, snip. But he didn't.
Sweet mystery of life, at last I found you.
So now he's decided that since, by God, his wife had to sign a piece of paper, and the upside of that whole thing is that this bastard can't breed. So I'm happy.
Well, that's happy news, but is he going to make it into the kingdom of heaven?
I don't know, because every sperm...
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, he was acting contrary to the law of God.
I know.
Well, Carol, I tell you what, this has been a lovely conversation, and thank you for putting the offer of the Ozark Hooterville Holler gift basket on the table this evening.
You're welcome. And I'm out of peach jam, so
okay.
I sent my last jar to Boss Me and Marine.
Yes, and he is going to. I'll be seeing him this weekend, and he will enjoy it immensely.
Cool beans.
All right. Carol, have a wonderful evening.
You will. I'm going to go hit the sipping jug.
I would if I... All right. See ya.
Later, buddy.
Bye now. News Ninja Carol Baker, live from Hooterville. And to the gizmo line. Hello?
What's up, Bob?
What's happening, Jim?
Just enjoying the conversation you were having with Carol. Excellent. Very enlightened lady. Just don't seem to have enough of them down here in Louisiana, Stan.
Oh, there's some, though. I know for a fact there's some, because I communicate with at least one once in a while.
Who's that, Mary Landrieu?
No. An enlightened woman in Louisiana, Stan? Mary Landrieu, are you kidding?
I'm being sarcastic and sardonic.
Okay, just checking. Yeah, I'll have to look at the map here and see how far away she is. Of course, she's married, so. But I do know there is.
Well,
And she's not only enlightened in Louisiana Stan, she is actively engaged in enlightening other minds in Louisiana Stan.
Cool. Maybe we could connect and enlighten to double as many, quadruple.
Yeah,
and we'll turn it into a blue state back when E.T. Long was left.
Oh, let's see. It looks like she's a fur piece from your neck of the woods, way on up the river.
Yeah. Wow, do you see any optimism coming out of the Republicans taking control, except for them making total fools and. I mean, do you think the people will realize that they did? After 2 years?
Today was kind of an optimistic day when you get right down to it. I mean, there's got to be something good to be said for ending a 50-year-old policy of abject stupidity, doesn't there? I mean, granted, the embargo's still in place, but, we're going to have an embassy in Havana.
That was very, very, I was glad, I was pleased as punch as, your boy Hubert Humphreys to say or something, I'm paraphrasing. I was glad to hear about that. But even then, I must have caught a little bit of some of the TV, talking heads on TV or something where, or maybe it's from your show, where they had the Texas senator, whatever, whining on and on about the ID the ID. What was he? He was whining on about something about now there's just going to be tons of Cubans not coming over, but. Oh, there goes the big Cuban influence, and it's like,
America. If we normalize relations, one thing that I think we might hope to see is an end to the dry foot policy.
Yeah.
Where you got to get in line with everybody from Mexico and Guatemala and Colombia and Bolivia and Honduras and Haiti and the Dominican Republic and everywhere else if you want to move to the United States. I'm not biased against Cuban people. I just think we need to treat people equitably.
Oh, definitely. Plus just, the population thing and it would be nice to go to Cuba,
Well, and Lord knows I'd love to. A little bit ago Tim wrote in about the glories of a glass of good scotch and a Cuban cigar. No. A glass of Havana Club rum, because that's something else we haven't been able to get. And it's exquisite. Havana Club rum, Cuban cigar, life is good.
I haven't smoked a Havana cigar ever, so, I mean, I've smoked a few cigars in my day, but...
Oh, there's a difference. There really, really, really is a difference. And the funny thing is, some of the high-end labels out of Honduras and Dominican Republic, those damn things are more expensive by 3 or 4 times than a Cuban is.
So is Fidel Castro, he's still alive, or is he just barely holding on?
I think he's holding on. Raul is running the show.
Right. Do you think there'll be like once he goes to make the non-existent great maker, there'll be a attempted coup or a silent coup, or you think? I think the people that have done this.
I think we're going to try to do what we can to subvert the governmental structure by virtue of the blue jeans and the internet. Because one of the things that was announced today is that there will be expanded telecommunications.
Well, yeah, that would be it. It wouldn't be overt, it would be covert. Imagine this country doing things covertly. That's still hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Well,
thank you.
But the thing is, Jim, letting people. Well, I don't know. One thing that I worry about is that. You know the Cuban literacy rate is far higher than the United States literacy rate.
Yeah, that's not saying a lot, but...
And you know that the Cuban maternal postpartum death rate is much lower than the U.S. postpartum death rate, right? And,
right.
And infant death is lower in Cuba than it is in the United States, with the best health care system in the world.
Right.
That's and they may not have a bunch of money in their pockets, but they've got universal access to health care. I worry that what we're going to try to do is
Americanize it.
Yeah, and take all of that away. You can't have a bunch of literate Cubans running around.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to take literacy away, but you can start with the schools. You could get some of the Bobby Jindo education shipped out over to Havana. And maybe Cuba will become the 51st state, you think?
Never in a million years. They don't want to be anybody's state. They want to be Cuba. They want to be free. That's what they wanted in 1900. It's what they wanted in 1960. And everything that we've done for the last 50 years has been an attempt to keep the Cuban people from being free.
I know, I'm just being sarcastic.
I know, and I'm not yelling at you, but I mean, it's really shameful what we've done. And of course, when Jimmy Bush runs out and says, "Oh, we shouldn't be appeasing, blah blah blah, negotiating," blah, 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 you know, he's speaking right to that cranky old knot of the Fulgencio Batista fan club that's sitting on great big piles of money in South Florida.
And they're hanging on for dear life at this time.
Right, but they still still wield considerable political clout in South Florida.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has obtained is that there's a whole bunch of Florida that's, for all intents and purposes, Georgia and Alabama, okay?
Just, no duh, yeah, exactly.
Right, but there's kind of a line that stretches from, Daytona Beach through Orlando down to Tampa, and everything south of that tends to vote significantly differently. except for the joker in the deck that's the old Cuban expat community, and they vote Republican. So,
yeah, but I heard their kids are turning. Like, they're not so much hardcore Republicans.
Right. They're not. But the money talks. I mean, consider what was inside the Cromnibus. You can now, if you've got that kind of Jed Clampett walking around money, Jim, you can now give individually $320,000 to a candidate. The Cromnibus boosted that by a factor of 10.
I know. That's, to me, that is so blatantly shameful, obscene, and obvious what the fuck is going on, that why the American people, the majority of American people, don't realize what's going on. I'm about to vote, not voting. In fact, I didn't even vote for Maryland. I didn't even bother because I knew she was going to lose.
Why violate your... Well, it's not just that you knew she was going to lose, Jim. Why violate your own political conscience, principles, being, what have you? She was... Well...
Exactly, but I mean, if I were to take that thought of mine, I'd be like, he both would be dead.
And so now, I mean, at least, frankly, this runoff election clears things up for you, Jim. At least you're always going to know how this new goober is going to vote, because he's going to vote like a Republican all the time, which is what Mary Landrieu did, but she created significant cognitive dissonance by pretending to be a Democrat.
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of the commercials ran against her was starting out, and it was won by Yahoo One. I forget his name, but he—it was like we Louisianans work hard, blah, you know, that song and dance. And but what came across to me was, and there's nothing wrong with, don't get me wrong, with working hard. What came across to me was, we work hard, we really don't get paid much, we're not that smart, and we're stupid, was the what I got across from the commercial. And apparently it worked really well. Maybe I just got tired of having somebody with a D, a symbolic D behind her name.
And that's all it was. She was bland. Let's see, Joe Manchin is Blanche Lincoln with better hair, and Mary Landrieu was Blanche Lincoln with a dye job. And I'm not trying. I hope I'm not even succeeding in being sexist there. It's just that in a darkened room, you couldn't tell the difference between the three. Well, let's put it this way. In a darkened room, you couldn't tell the difference between the three of those. Of course, Blanche is gone now. Now Mary's gone. Joe, we're going to be stuck with Joe. But in a, you put those three in a dark room with a whole bunch of Republicans, you couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the story from last night, Jim. For God's sakes, Joe Manchin is upset that we didn't pass the Veteran Suicide Prevention Act for $22 million because Tom Coburn stopped it. But this is the same guy who opposed the nomination of a brown guy for Surgeon General and opposed the nomination of a brown guy for the head of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice. Yeah, you know, please stop. You know, yeah, Joe, stop it.
That pisses me off to no end. That overt racism. It's overt to me. I see it.
Yeah, he may feel like it's covert, but it's overt to anybody who's paying attention.
I'm sorry, it's the 21st century. Kind of put on your big boy pants and grow up.
Well, but remember, Joe was hailed by the Third Eye Blind bunch, middle of the roaders, for being a new kind of Democrat when he had all that courage to stand up to the NRA and and you know, push for the closing of the gun show loophole. It certainly took courage on his part. The NRA's big in West Virginia, but he knew it was going to fail in the first place. So where did all that courage to stand up to the NRA go when it came to questions of little Cletus shooting little coitus with their Cricket 22 rifles?
Yeah, that's just a tactical move. Yeah, but I mean, I guess people aren't as much political junkies as you or I.
I don't think you have to be a political junkie for this, Jim. All you have to do is have a functioning conscience.
Well, once again, I think most people really don't have that much of a conscience. I can start to lose faith in humanity, Bob.
Please, not in December. We're right on top of the solstice. Wait till the days start getting a little bit longer before you start losing faith in humanity again.
Okay, all right. Well, I like the way you put it. Solstice. You didn't throw in the C word, you know.
Yeah. By the way, Stockton Larry pointing out in the chat room, by the way, veteran suicide prevention is really just gun control in drag.
That's right. I'll let you go.
All right, you have yourself a good
evening. If I don't talk to you before the end of the year, I don't know.
For heaven's sakes,
broadcasting, though.
That's practically 2 weeks away. I mean, so I'm sure we will.
Okay, well, I'm blessing to send you some 2025 God thing.
All right, you take care, Jim. Have yourself a good evening.
All right,
bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana Stan. And let's see here. Hang on. Let me see what I... No? Okay. Hey, welcome to the program. Is that you, Bill? Is that you, Bill? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Bill. Anybody? If it's not Bill, who is it? Okay, so... Well, I think it was Bill. Maybe he'll try back in a second. That would be awfully handy if he did. And just as we wrap up the program this evening, I want to send thanks out to Sal and to Asa, the only ones who have kicked in to help keep all this going during the program this evening. Thanks for a previous order of wild rice this evening. That was very kind as well. So that means that we're actually kind of behind on the fundraising stuff. If anybody wants to jump in via the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com. Do I have you this time, Bill?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it real brief. First of all, it's waterboarding. For those who may not know it, the United States Army was using waterboarding on the Philippine insurrectionists of the early 1900s.
Yeah, the same Philippine insurrection about which Mark Twain was so horrified.
Yeah, and those Philippines men who came and women who came to the forefront in 1941, and you know, they did a tremendous job. Philippine scouts were part of the regular U.S. Army, and they were as good as anything we had over there. And of course, I don't know, they've been suffering with some of the leadership they had in the past, and I don't know how they're doing now politically. Their weather has not been kind to the nation at all. What you should have told Carol is, you know, don't yell through the screen door because you're straining your voice.
he'll be here all week too. Oh, God, what was the...
Anyway,
Wait, before you go, though, I got to share one with you because I saw one that... I have a really, really awful sense of humor, but you know that by now, right, Bill? So I saw our buddy Tim from L.A. posted a whole bunch of chestnuts, you know, old ones on the on his Facebook page today. Baby polar bear goes up to his mother and says, "Mom, am I a polar bear?" His mother says, "Well, of course you're a polar bear, dear. I'm a polar bear and your father's a polar bear." "Yeah, but am I 100% pure polar bear?" Okay, Mom's not putting up with it anymore. Go ask your dad. So the little polar bear walks up to his dad and says, "Hey, Pop, am I a polar bear? I mean, 100% pure polar bear." And his daddy says, "Well, of course you're a polar bear, son. I'm a polar bear. Your mother's a polar bear. Both my parents were polar bears. Both your mother's parents were polar bears. All of our grandparents, both sides, were polar bears. Yes, you're 100% pure polar bear. Why do you ask, son?" Little bear says, "Because I'm fucking freezing." I read that. Oh. I cackled like I was about to lay a dozen eggs.
Oh, man, it's, there's so many things going on that, I went in to get a set of teeth today, and they just fit me for them. I gotta go wait till next week, and a buddy of mine has a big open house, a very fine piano player, and I don't know if I can go out there without him. I mean, I can hear it already, Bob, you know. No, I need that in my age. I'm having something showing up on my computer that I'd love to talk to Thomas about, and if he's Thomas, if you're listening, give me a quick call. We'll talk it over. Anyway, I'll let you go, Bob, and it was a great, you and Carol, have you ever thought of doing a routine, you know?
They closed the vaudeville circuit, Bill, so I don't see that happening.
Okay, because, well, vaudeville is over with, but, you know, people who can set each other up for good jokes is something I've always loved and appreciated. And especially when it's coming from, you know, out of an intelligence basis.
Well, I've always thought of myself as a straight man, so there you go.
Well, she's on the money so much that with being on the money like that, I'd find a casino somewhere, you know?
Bill, you have yourself a good evening. What? Oh, what?
Yeah, I'll talk. You take care, man.
All right. Take care. See you, Bill. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress. Legendary bluesman calling from Cleveland. It's time to get out of here. I knew I was walking into something. I got this magnificent Wisconsin cheese parcel today and posted a photograph of it on Facebook and Twitter. There's Carol. I think of Bob as a straight man, too. I mean, he showed us his package and everything. Oh, she will be here all night. thanks, everybody. Thanks for your continued support of the program. Thank you for all that you do to keep this little network going. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox. Hope you're happily unpacking and unboxing now after your big move. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org. Remember, Coal River has an Indiegogo campaign going right now, trying to survive. And you can find it at Indiegogo.com, Coal River Mountain Watch, Moving Forward. And, of course, always, 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 Gina. It's all for you.